First, I also would like to take this opportunity to thank the University of Vienna and the Zada Foundation, and also people who are involved, principally, you know, Professor Mathis, and whoever, I don't know all the names, but those who are involved in arranging this symposium. And I sincerely thank everybody for making this possible. So my paper is quite long, so I won't be able to read all of it. So what I'm going to do is just skip many of them and just go right to the core of the paper. Mm-hmm. I don't have any PowerPoint or anything like that, just reading a paper. Hope this is okay. My paper will revisit Sakyabai scholar Korambo Sonam Singhi's reputation of the Jonangbo position on Buddha nature as expounded by Dolpo Shirab Gyaltsen. I will be presenting this reputation mainly based on Gorampa's text. The Gorampa wrote a text which is actually on Domsum. It's called Supplement to the Three Vows. And in that text, actually, there are three chapters. The first chapter is on base, and the second chapter is on three vows, and the third chapter is on the kayas. So my presentation of this reputation of Jonangpa is drawn, all of them, from the first chapter. Mm-hmm. So that first chapter is on the base, that's the Buddha nature. So going right to the reputation of it. So Gorampa identified Dolpupa as representing the Jonangpa school. Dolpupa, known as the great omniscient one of Jonang, came from Dolpo in present-day Nepal, of course. And usually, you know, Tibetan scholars do not identify their opponent, but in this case, he was very clear. And then also, he summarizes the Dolpupa's ideas or understanding of the Buddha nature. So he says, in the Rishi Ngöden Gyatso, Dolpupa asserted that there are two emptinesses, emptiness of, in other words, Rangtong and Shentong, and there are two truths, conventional truth and ultimate truth, and there are three natures of the things, that is the imputed nature, dependent nature, and thoroughly established nature, right? So imputed nature and the dependent nature are conventional truth, and the conventional truth is empty of self, because, or the Rangtong, because it does not have any inherent existence. It is like dream and illusion. So Dolpupa calls this emptiness of self a nihilistic emptiness of matter, an inferior emptiness. It is not a pure emptiness that is the ultimate truth. In the Prajnaparamita Sutra, the statement, starting from form to the omniscient wisdom of Buddha, all are empty of self, refers to the conventional truth. Nagarjuna also mainly talked about the emptiness of self in his writings on Madhyamika philosophy. According to the Jonangpa, these sutras and shastras do not demonstrate the complete ultimate truth. The Panchaparamita Sutra's statement, starting from form to the omniscient wisdom of the Buddha, all are empty of self, refers to imputed nature. And the example, these are like dreams and illusion, refers to dependent nature. The absolutely does not mean that thoroughly established nature or the Parinibbana is false and does not exist. To prove this, Dolpupa quoted from Dignaga's Ashta Sahasrika, the words such as not exist negate all parikalpita. The example, like illusion, etc., refers to Paratantra. After teaching four purities, Parinishvana is taught. Parinishvana, the ultimate truth, is empty of the other or the Shentong because it is devoid of composite things that have parikalpita and paratantra nature. The emptiness of other is pure, or the Shentong is pure, unerring ultimate truth, Dharmakaya and Tathata. This ultimate truth primarily possesses all the excellent qualities of the Buddha, such as power, fearlessness, and the major and minor marks. To prove their point, Jonangpas used the example of the three Sahasrapatha, or world found in the Avatamsaka Sutra, and the nine metaphors found in the Tathagata Garbha Sutra. They also claim that this notion is clearly expounded in the Mahabheri Sutra and many other sutras, like including the Sri Maladevi Sutra, Ratnakuta Sutra, and Mahaparinirvana Sutra, and so forth. It has been set forth in detail in the Uttaratantra of Maitreya and its commentary, where the intention of the last turning of the wheel of Dharma is explained. Furthermore, this notion explained in the treatises by Asanga and his brother Basubandhu, as well as in the collection of praises of Nagarjuna. Since conventional truth, parikalpita and paratantra are empty of self and do not ultimately exist from the beginning, the conventional truth is free from the extreme of eternalism. Dharmata, the parinishvana, has never been non-existent from the beginningless time. It is truth and permanent. Hence, it is free of the extreme of nihilism. Therefore, the emptiness of the other is the great middle way, or the umachempo, free from both extremes. Because of the numerous reasons given above, the Chonangpa tradition is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, Chonangpa claims. Now, next is Gorangpa also has the way of positioning Chonangpa. Where does he want to put Chonangpa? So now, this, goes into like explaining how Randhava feels about Chonangpa. So a Sakyapa scholar, Randhava Shunulodu, said that the Chonangpa school is absolutely not a Buddhist school. He argued that the theory of Shentong, as they call the great middle way, is not the meaning of any Hinayana or Mahayana Sutra. It is contradictory to four schools, or four Buddhist schools, Vaibheshika, Sautantrika, Chittamatra, and Madhyamika. Also, it does not reflect the meaning of any great Indian and Tibetan scholar. Randhava goes on to say that this system is not within the Buddhist tradition because of the following. The Vaibheshika and Sautantrika school posit an emptiness which is merely devoid of personal self, or Pudgala Atman, but they accept the existence of mere aggregates. And these aggregates are impermanent, suffering, empty, and selfless in nature. These two schools never accept an emptiness that is characterized by permanence and changelessness, etc. Thus, Randhava firmly established that the Chonangpa tradition does not convey the meaning of Hinayana sutras. In reference to Mahayana, Nagarjuna talks about two emptinesses. One, emptiness established by logical reasoning, and the two, emptiness realized by meditators through self-awareness. The emptiness established by reasoning has two parts. A, the emptiness of personal self, and B, the emptiness of phenomenal self. The first one is devoid of the self or person as the enjoyer of objects. Ordinary people are non-Buddhists superimpose this self on the basis of aggregates, the sensory spheres, or dhatus, and the sources of perception, or the ayatanas, although they are established as mere phenomena. The emptiness of phenomena self is an establishment of merely illusory interdependent causation through negating the superimposition of Buddhists and non-Buddhists alike. such as the outer and inner sensory spheres and sources of perception being permanent, impermanent, arising, non-arising. These two emptinesses are called nominal ultimate because they are established through the knowledge of listening and contemplation. The emptiness which yogins individually realize is an inexpressible one. It is an object beyond all other objects. This emptiness, or the dhammata, is also the nature of illusory interdependent causation. Besides these three emptinesses, Nagarjuna never asserted that any emptiness ultimately exists, although it is still emptiness because it is devoid of conventional identities. No matter how much the Jonangpas try to prove that Nagarjuna taught the emptiness of other, they will never find a single passage in Nagarjuna's treatises indicating the emptiness of other, or the Shentong. In the Mula Madhyamika Karika, he says, if there were even a triple non-empty, then triple emptiness would exist. However, since there's not even a triple that is non-empty, how could emptiness be existent? The Jonangpas respond by saying that in Nagarjuna's six treatises on the Madhyamika, he has only taught the emptiness of self of the Rangtong, but in his writings of praises, or the Tuso, the emptiness of others, the ultimate truth, has been taught. Rendawa denied this as well by saying that even in Nagarjuna's writings of praises, there's not a single word indicating that there is something that truly or that ultimately exists. Rather, in his writings of praises, Nagarjuna rejects all extremes, such as he does in the treatises of Madhyamika. Therefore, the Jonangpa tradition does not represent Nagarjuna's tradition, Rendawa concluded. Rendawa further says that the three different kinds of emptiness appear in Asanga and Vasubandhu's work. A, emptiness of own character, Rangi Senyi Dongba, right? Dongbani. B, emptiness of not being or non-existing, Yupa Mayimpa Dongbani, Yupa Mayimpa Dongbani. And then C, emptiness of its own, Rangxin Ki Dongbani. The first one is the Parikalpita. The second one is Paratantara, and the third one is Parinichpana. Of these three, the Paratantara is established by its own character. The Paratantara, being devoid of Parikalpita, is the Parinichpana that ultimately exists. This is the middle path because it is free from the two extremes of eternalism and nihilism. Thus, it is said in the Madhyanda Vibhanga. The imagination of what is unreal exists. In this imagination, duality does not exist. In it, however, emptiness exists, and in this emptiness, this imagination exists. It is said that nothing is empty and nothing is non-empty. Because of the existence of the imagination, the non-existence of duality and existence of emptiness in the imagination. This is the middle path. Madhyanda Vibhanga says that. Now, Jonangpa's theory of ultimate existing Parinishpana, which is devoid of Parikalpita and Paratantara, is discordant with Asanga and Vasubandhu's views because the Jonangpas asserted that Paratantara also does not exist as Parikalpita. But in the treatises of the two brothers, Paratantara does not ultimately exist, like the object of the magician's magic show. Therefore, the Jonangpa tradition is neither the mind-only school nor the Madhyamika school. Rendawa refutes the theory of the Jonangpa tradition in this way. In analyzing Rendawa's criticism of the Jonangpa tradition, Goramba says that it is too harsh to conclude that the Jonangpa tradition is a non-Buddhist school or non-Buddhist tradition because it accords with neither the Hinayana nor the Mahayana school. In fact, Goramba maintains the Jonangpa tradition is superior to other realist or the Ngopo Yoparamawa schools and actually leads one to a point where one effortlessly understands the Madhyamika view. Because except for Parinishpana, the Jonangpa does establish that ultimately all phenomena do not exist. The Jonangpa also accepts sutras related to the last teachings of the Buddha, Maitreya's texts, and what Asanga and Vasubandha interpreted as the definitive meaning. To prove that the Jonangpa tradition is not the mind-only school, Randhawa uses his reasoning. Jonangpa does not assert Paratantra being an ultimately existent phenomena. So Kurambu replies that this is an invalid logic because Paratantra has been explained as an ultimately existent phenomena in many texts of the mind-only or the Chittamatthini school. If a person belonging to the mind-only school studies the Madhyamika view, then he will at first accept the Paratantra is actually devoid of ultimate existence, but some residual insistence on the ultimate existence of Parinishpana will remain. Just accepting what has been explained, having not only a common locus, Paratantra, but also accepting non-existent phenomena does not make one non-Chittamatthini. Otherwise, the false aspect mind-only school is no longer one of the mind-only schools because the aspect which is the basis of debate between the two mind-only schools, the two-aspect mind-only school and the false aspect mind-only school is questionably Paratantra. And the false aspect mind-only school does not accept this aspect as ultimately existent phenomena. Thus, Kurambu maintains that if one wants to say that this aspect is not Paratantra, but rather is Parikalpita, then it is absolutely wrong to say that false aspect mind-only school accepts it to be ultimately existent phenomena, because the mind-only school does not accept the existence of Parikalpita. If one wonders where does this particular tradition belong, meaning Jonangpa tradition belong, Kurambu quotes one of his teachers, Rongdun Shesakuri, who says that Jonangpa tradition is the best mind-only school, or it is almost on a par with the Madhyamika school. Kurambu proves Rongdun's statement to be correct with several logical reasons. Number one, the Jonangpa tradition was able to establish Paratantra being devoid of ultimate existence with only some residual insistence on the ultimate existence of Parinishpana. Number two, the Jonangpa tradition has taken a literal interpretation of the Sandhi Nirumacana Sutra. Number three, the Jonangpa tradition identifies Asanga, Vasubandhu, Dignaga, and Dharmakirti as the great Madhyamikas and accepts the works of these scholars as its tradition. And number four, the Jonangpa tradition bases its interpretation of scriptures on the three characteristics, namely Parikalpita, Paratantra, and Parinishpana. Some followers of the Jonangpa school say that their school is not the mind-only school because the mind-only school is not only one of the substantialist schools, but also accepts a common locus of things and ultimate existence. However, the Jonangpa believes that as long as being is something, it is devoid of ultimate existence. Except for these insignificant points, there is ultimately no difference between what the Jonangpa followers say and what the mind-only school accepts, because Jonangpa also accept a common locus, shitun, of mind and ultimate existence. If one claims that the Jonangpa school is the Madhyamika school because it accepts Nagarjuna's works as valid and authoritative treatises, one has not proved the case at all. Being incapable of refuting Nagarjuna's writings, the Jonangpas interpreted them willy-nilly and attached them to their theory at random. In fact, their theory of the emptiness of other or the Shendong is certainly not Nagarjuna's meaning. In the Madhyamika Karika, Nagarjuna says, there is no composition because birth, dissolution, and abiding could not be established. Since composition could not be established, how could non-composition be established? Again, the followers of the Jonangpa say that this objection does not hold true because of the above passage and also one in the biography of Vartani. If I have any thesis or argument, I will have this fall. Nevertheless, since I don't have a thesis, I'm indeed faultless. According to the Janangpas, these two verses were set forth in terms of meditative equipoise, not in terms of the post-meditative discursive analysis. The meaning in terms of meditative equipoise is that a noble Arya meditator in his meditative equipoise does not see composite and non-composite things as truly existent. They are not apprehended as any of the four extremes of existence. Therefore, this is the way uncontaminated minds grasp ultimate reality. Post-meditation and analysis means that when one investigates the reality of an object, one determines whether it truly exists or not truly exists. According to Gorampa, this position of the Janangpa is absolutely wrong. If the reference to the non-composite thing is made in the context of meditative equipoise, then the statement, non-existence of composite things, must also be made in that context. If this is so, then it would be pointless to refute arising, abiding, and a dissolution through analysis. Therefore, these verses must be referring to post-meditative analysis. Returning to the Domsum Kagong, the Janangpa demonstrated the basis, the path, and the result in the following way. First, the basis. The Janangpas assert that if one divides all knowable phenomena into two truths and three defining characteristics of Parikalpita, Paratantara, then Parikalpita and Paratantara are conventional because they are not established as truly existing things. But the Parinishpana is the ultimate truth and it is established as a truly existing phenomenon. Buddha nature exists in all sentient beings' mental continua because the ultimate dhammata of all phenomena has no distinction of being awakened Buddha, but sentient beings are not Buddha. Now, that's the basis, the result. Regarding the achievement of result, the Janangpa assert that from beginningless time, the existing self-born ultimate dharmakaya does not need to be obtained by means of gathering the two accumulations. They maintain that through the gathering of the two conventional accumulations, one obtains the conventional rupakaya. Okay, then the Janangpas, they claim that their assertion to be in accord with the sutras and shastras. So then, many sutras they mentioned, the Janangpa said that the notion explained above is the ultimate significance of the 10 sutras of definite meaning, such as Samdhi Nirvanchana Sutra, Nirvana Sutra, and Tathagata Garbha Sutra, Anguli Mala Sutra, and Lankavatara Sutra, and so forth. And also, this is also the meaning of the 5 treatises of Maitreya, as well as the Asanga brothers' writings, such as the 5 Bhumi, the 2 collections, and the 8 Prakaranas. Dignaga's summary of the 8,000 verses of Panchaparamita Sutra and 7 treatises of Dharmakirti. These are all in agreement with what was discussed about because their system is the system of the great Madhyamika, the Janangpa said. So Nagarjuna Aryadeva also accept this position, and this is the one and the only meaning of all the performed tantras as well, the Janangpa said. Okay? So now the Gorampa's own really refutation. There are 2 parts to the investigation of this unique presentation of the Janangpas. Number 1, investigation with the scriptures and logical reasoning without partiality. And number 2, providing an explanation of why investigation is done. As for the first, the presentation given by the Janangpa is to be investigated with scripture, citations, logical reasonings, without partiality, because this is the object for scholars to refute and defend. The second part has 2 sections. Number 1, adopting what is agreeable, and number 2, demonstrating the rest in contradiction to both the conventional and ultimate truth. As for the first, the notion is that the sphere of reality or the dharmata has no difference of good and or bad in terms of both basis and result in relation to Buddha nature. Being Buddha nature, the ultimate Buddha endowed with all the all naturally pure and spontaneously arisen qualities, such as strength, is not to be refuted, because Korompa also accepts this notion as it is the intention of Mahayana Sutra and Tantras. As for the second, demonstrating the rest in contradiction to both the conventional and ultimate truth, is that Dharmata is a truly established man, is to be refuted because, as it will be shown below, this is perceived to be contradictory with both the conventional and ultimate truth. The Dzogchen's assertion, when a certain meaning of the scripture is explained by means of convention, the impure sphere of reality is Buddha, is in contradiction to conventional truth, because if this is the case, it would mean there's no distinction of inferiority, equality, etc. on the conventional level. But the reality is that on the conventional level, one has to speak of having distinguished superiority, inferiority, equality, birth and dissolution, etc. So then response, the sequence of the four, now it's talking about the contradicting with the four reliances, right? The response, the sequence of the four reliances is not like that. Having accepted the convention first, one eventually enters the ultimate reality later. If the convention is rejected from the beginning, then it is useless to teach convention for the purpose of understanding ultimate reality. Also, you would incorrectly reverse the sequence of the four reliances. Okay, then, now Jonangpa. Jonangpa says, we do not have the fault of abandoning the convention because even on the conventional level, we accept the impure sphere of reality as Buddha, they argue. Further, Korompa said, accepting the impure sphere of reality as the Buddha contradicts the treatises of Maitreya and Nagarjuna. To explain how this contradicts these treatises, then Korompa quotes from Uttara Tantra of Maitreya and many other quotations. Okay. I think I don't have time to go through all of it. Let's see. So he's pointing out, like, the Jonangpa contradicts with the intent of Sutra, Tantra, and also sequence of the turning the wheel of Dharma, and so forth and so on. Now, this one, the illustrating the reason of investigation without bias. So, Korompa said that he had tremendous faith in the great people of Jonang, who were the upholders of the Kalachakra tradition and who have perfected the inner realization. However, the investigation he had undertaken in relation to the Jonangpa's tenet was done with scripture and logic and was not motivated by desire, anger, or ignorance. This investigation is done to refute an extreme grasping of eternalism in order to establish the ultimate view as free from the four extremes. Therefore, Korompa asks those impartial scholars to take his investigation faithfully because he says, having thought of benefiting the teachings of the Buddha and sentient beings, his advice of distinguishing what it is to be and not to be came from his heart. Then, essence of the important points in brief. In brief, Buddha nature is the unity of clarity and emptiness, because the mind comprises all phenomena of samsara and nirvana, and the mind itself is empty of true existence and free from the four extremes. Therefore, from beginningless time, Buddha nature is the unity of clarity and emptiness, which is the ultimate nature of the way things really are. If Buddha nature is put together, it is the nature of one's own mind that is clarity, its unceasing luster is everywhere, free from utterance through sound and perception, and free from elaboration. This unity should be understood as Buddha nature because this is the ultimate mode of the basis. So I rest here then.
Thank you very much, Kenpo Lopa. Finally, we got a roundhouse position at the head of this Paranaka, which was like a long view and the Chonan position. There are two questions I have. One with regard to the ontological status of Paratantra. Tsongkhapa, he distinguishes, like he noticed, first of all, that some passages say Paratantra is relative and sometimes it's claiming the ultimate. And so he distinguishes, you know, ontological from epistemological, like descriptions of the Paratantra. In one case, it's ultimate; in the other, it's relative. I mean, that's one question: whether Purampa or Rendava have a similar, more balanced evaluation of the ontological status. The other one is whether they somehow respond to Ratnakarashanti's attempt to read Yogacara philosophy into the works of Nagarjuna. I don't know whether you're aware of that, but Greg Satan in his thesis nicely elaborated that this one verse, you know, yah patitya samutpadaha sa shunyata prachakshmahe, so what is dependent arising, that we call shunyata. So Ratnakarashanti says, well, dependent arising, that's abhuta parikalpa, that's yanta kvamayin vipuntu tokpa, and tompani, that's nigi tompa. So he reads, you know, the Madhyanda Vibhaga verse into this verse of Nagarjuna, and Harunaga Isaacson, in one of his recent papers, showed that Yukti Shastika 34 can be interpreted in a way that Nagarjuna teaches mind only. In the second part, you have a compound tachnyani. So in the first, you know, the four elements are mentioned. And if you disconnect the compound, you know, if you take tat separate from jnana, then it would mean, and these elements dissolve in wisdom. So and from that, Ratnakarashanti concludes that Nagarjuna teaches Chidamatra. So I wonder, you know, whether Rendava and Purampa were addressing this kind of explanations.
I have not seen that particular, you know, thing. However, the Paratantra, yes, I have seen they are explaining Paratantra in some different ways. When Paratantra is devoid of parikalpita, is actually dhyandam. It's the, you know, the real thing. However, when Paratantra is still with the parikalpita, or maybe tainted with the parikalpita, is not real. So this is two aspects, it's mentioned everywhere like that. Of course, their explanation of the Chittamatin tradition, Chittamatin view. So this is how they, you know, explained these three characteristics. But the other one, I have not seen Kurampa, neither Kurampa nor Rendava, what Ratnakarashanti, you know, is talking about in the Nagarjuna teaching yoga. No, I have not seen that.
So yeah. Probably they simply prefer to ignore him.
Yeah? Maybe that's I think maybe life is already complicated. So why put too much into it, right? I think. Yeah, I think if we bring too many things into complication, it's already there, then I think we have to have some kind of classification or something like that. If, you know, everything put together, I think we never get out of it. So I think I'm saying this because Sakya Pandita make it very, very clear in his Nomsum Rabje that everything that is talking about existence, non-existence, still talking about relative truth, very precisely, no matter what, whether it's dharmata, what terminology doesn't matter, whether it's dharmata or, you know, whatever, shentong or in the emptiness or, mahamadhyamika or whatever. He says, as long as we are talking about it, it is still conditional. So ultimate, you know, the Buddha nature or dharmata is not the object of expression. So I think based on that, then, you know, bringing too many things to into a lot of things, we are making ourselves more kind of complicated, you know, in situation like that. Yeah, absolutely. I think, for example, as I said, I'm using this Korampa's text on Domsum, but he has written this in a verse form. And of course, we have to rely on commentary. And the earliest commentary that I can find is his disciple's commentary, Gongtun Wongchutu's commentary that I'm using. And also, there's another commentary by one of the later, I think, the Tanakh Kenpo, Chö Namgyel. So I managed to get those manuscripts. Actually, the Tanakh Kenpo's one is later my advisor, Professor Leonard Vanderkaif gave it to me. And the other one is existed before. So again, these are the explanation of the disciples. You know, whether they really get the Korampa's idea or not, it's still a question of investigation. Yeah.
And you mentioned that your source for the Jodong position was the Domsum Kafong, I believe. How different is that, or is it the same as his Dawei Shinshi? Because it sounded like a lot of the...
I think it's pretty much the same, but this one has more detail. The whole chapter is dedicated to reputation of the Tathagata Garba or the Tichichebe Ningbo, not only Chonangba, but also he has a lot of reputation of including Shakya Shogden's position on Shentong, and also many others, the unknown Sakyaba positions on Shentong.
And how different is his reputation of Shakya Chokten from the Jonang? Because he thinks the Jonang is with the Simzam Namjumba, right?
Yes. As far as I am aware, I don't really fully understand what Shakya Chokten's position on Shentong. But I know that they are different. So Shentong, as I'm just looking at, Shentong is everywhere. And everything, all the different, scholars' interpretation of Shentong, understanding of Shentong is different from each other. So you cannot say one, represents one kind of position, represents all Shentong. Shentong is, I think, found everywhere. Of course, it became quite popular in Tibet, but I think even in India, I think Shentong existed, right? So that's why we can't just determine to say that Shentong is one position that everybody agrees to it. I think there are many different. For example, I think Dzogchen Shenga Rinpoche, he really, he's champion on Rangdong. He wanted to really refute Shentong altogether, and he did that many things. But then finally, he said, when he read Shakya Chokten's position on Shentong, he says, I couldn't refute it. So this is different, you know. So I don't know. There are many different things. Yeah, I'm not at all. Knowledgeable of all different Shentongs, but.
It's just a small question. I was interested in what you were saying about on about the Chittimancha position, and I was wondering if Gurampa, Sakya school generally, make a distinction between Kait Sensam and Kipte Sensam, as one does in Nyingma school. Do you make that distinction?
I think in terms of this kind of presentation or the reputation, now he doesn't do it. But in generally speaking, I think there are, wordings are a little different. I don't remember exactly, but we do have that distinction. Yes.
Thank you very much. It was very valuable to have the Sakya presentation of the Jonon system. But can you summarize in just a few words what's the main, what Gorampa's main view of Buddha nature is and what the distinction from the Jonon or Dolpopa's view is in a few words?
Yeah, as far as I know, I think Gorampa really goes with what Rongdon was saying, that the Jonangpa's really view is very high, even higher than maybe Semjampa or the mind-only school. So it's very, because knowing Gorampa's, the Jonangpa's position or knowing its tenet well, then you have no problem getting into Madhyamika very easily. This is what he concluded. But I think Gorampa's own position for Buddha nature is, it's like a similar to what other the Rangtong was saying, that it's the non-duality of clarity and emptiness, but calling it Buddha nature is the potential. There's nothing there. It's not all the qualities the Buddhas are in present. It's not like that. It's potential is there. However, it's interesting thing is that when you go through the practice, when you realize the fully blossomed, the Buddha nature, then these qualities do not arise as a new. It's something it reveals, reveals to you. But until then, it is not present. Or in other words, only potential is there. So this is my conclusion of his real understanding of the Buddha nature. It's just conclusion. The potential. Yeah, Satong, yeah. Satong Sungju, Satong, yeah.
That's interesting because Pema Karpo, among others, also feel that the Zungju is very important to understand whether it's Tong Pani, Tenpa,
yeah. Beginning of his chapter on this Buddha nature, I think he's he says Shila, right? As for the basis or the foundation. Shila tumde kebara di semjung sangme sabyonda namshi tu ge kebara so dobra yodi duje chir dirni. Now he's talking about dirni is here what I'm going to present dirni chamgun ludupki. So he's bringing Maitreya and Nagarjuna together here as the same dirni chamgun ludupki salwa clarity yunchakwa meaning continuing. Salva Juncha Magaba unceasing. Tashi Tumte Tongbai. So the free from all four extremes or elaborations. Sungju, then there Duma Chalashe. Is the problematic word for that is finally he's a Dumache. Unconditioned, right? But that's again, interpreted, it's not really unconditioned in the sense of unchanging, the permanent thing. It means, it means it's not kind of generated new, that kind of thing. So it's a little bit difficult there. Sungju Dima Chalashe.
I'm very sorry for having to interrupt you guys.
Yeah, that's fine. Great. Thank you. Thank you.